Stellar Fundraising Auctions presents Black Tie and Tails, brought to you by Sojourn Ventures and Greater Giving, and featuring your hosts, fundraising auctioneers Greg Caroga and Devon Bell. Welcome to Black Tie and Tails, our mostly regular sojourn into the wonderful world of fundraising auctions, where we share tales of triumph and tragedy. I'm your host, Greg Caroga. This is my host, Devon Bell.
Hello, all.
Thanksgiving, by the time people are hearing or seeing this, Thanksgiving will be in the rearview mirror. We're getting prepared for it now, though, heading into it.
You won't have this edited and out by tonight, you're saying?
Yeah, no. It's not going out tonight. And I love the mythos of Thanksgiving, that there's always that one guest at the table who winds up saying the things that you can't believe they said out loud.
Right.
There's the
don't bring Uncle Bob another beer.
Right. There's always this year, I mean, if that happens this year, that guest is going to be me, because our Thanksgiving's going to be tiny. Yours is big.
Yeah, right now we're at 17 people, so it's going to be mighty.
17. That's a lot. That's a.
I think that means we'll have three inappropriate ones.
Right. So. Yeah. Exactly. And it kind of ties into this week's theme. Is like, it seems like not every time we do an auction, but frequently enough, there's that one bidder. Who they, you know, sometimes it's a bidder, sometimes it's a staff person. Sometimes there's sometimes you get that one person who you're just like, really? Really? Like this, you had to take us there.
Sometimes it's a spotter.
Oh.
You know how your spotter is like, they're good. The organization tells you, oh, they're really funny, they're good. And then it turns out they're a little too good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And occasionally people tend to want to make it about themselves or take it there. But sometimes, you know, every now and again, we get bidders who go bad. And a bidder going bad can just have a drastic impact on an auction one way or the other. And there's bidders who go bad and take the auction with them in a negative way. And then there's we'll get to a story where there's a bidder who went bad who ultimately did good for the organization, but sure cost me a lot. But let's start, because I know you've got recent examples of bidders gone bad.
Let's just say it right off the bat that bidders gone bad is such a great line for the thumbnail. It's really good. It's got some alliteration to it. Again, right? We've got, I just did an event, one of those micro events where it was like a special wine dinner and there's only 35 people.
Oh, yeah.
You got a plenty good chance there of having no bad bidders.
Right, right.
But then you have an event with 850 people. So you're right. And so you add those all up over 10 years and 20 years, and it is thousands, no, tens of thousands of people. You're bound to have bad bidders, he said alliteratively.
Uh-huh.
All right. I'm going to give you one. I got two, but I'll give you one right off the bat that jumps to mind. I think the organization was educational. It was well established. There's people who'd been going to this event for a long time. So there was a lot of older people, maybe parents and grandparents and people within the school system. And it was a big auction, a couple hundred people. And it was in Oakland. It was on the shores of Lake Merritt. And there was one of our lots was airline and a stay kind of thing, you know?
Okay.
And so, you know, I ended up going for a couple grand or whatever. And it was this sweet old lady who was kind of up near the front who ended up winning it. And
you're like, great, grandma supporting the school.
Totally.
Great.
And grandma
going to take the family on a vacation.
Hey, maybe she's going on the trip anyway. It works right out for her. But she was in, and her table mates were all excited, you know, and she ended up winning it. And then we had few enough lots where they just go and find the people.
Oh,
and
right.
Work
they're
it out with
have,
them.
Right, yeah, they're going to have you, like, they send a runner out.
Yeah, a runner out specifically.
To go get the person to sign off and validate their winning bid.
Right, that's right. So when the time came to validate the winning bid, the runner was out there doing their thing and we're all done. Hey, that went well. And the runner comes back and says, oh, we got some problems with this lady.
Uh-oh.
She went to the lady and said, okay, you know, here's how much you want it for and how you want to settle this up. And the lady, an older lady, straight up said, I thought we were just raising our paddles for fun. I didn't. Wait, I have to pay?
I thought it was a game.
Money? I thought you girls just liked me, right? And so she literally just thought like people threw their paddles up and had fun. And when it came time for her to win, she was like, yay, I won. Like, what, you think this is a contest?
Right, yeah. Yeah, and like the reason, and everybody else just stops because they got tired.
Right, right.
Like, oh, like her arm strength, so good. Like, grandma's been doing reps, like, to keep that paddle going right.
We give up, grandma. Yeah,
grandma
we
wins.
You dominate. So, and we were in a tough spot because.
Yeah, what did you do?
The program was over.
Oh, no.
The program was over, so there's not hold up, we're going to come back.
Right, right.
Plus, that would have embarrassed the heck out of that lady. I think they found a way to remonetize it. They might have even, and this is interesting because this feeds into the efficacy of recording every bid.
Right.
Right. Right. Even if it's not a winning bid,
right.
you get information from non-winning bids of many kinds. And one of them is you go back to second highest bidder and go, hey, it's your lucky day, thanks to this lady. So
I don't know if we've ever talked about it here, but we talk about it all the time in meetings with clients, which is if you can have somebody record every bid during an auction, it gives you a wealth of data upon which to draw to be able to make decisions about everything. But I mean, specifically, it helps a lot to be able to go back to the second place bidder after the fact. Because
yeah.
We don't say, you know, 3,800 to 1, 2, 3, now 4, go 4, 4,000 to 4, 5, 6, right? Like that doesn't, we're not calling paddle numbers as we're doing the auction.
Nope.
That would be weird. That would be hard. That's more words than anybody wants to listen to. We're just calling numbers, you know, 38,
right.
Now 4, 4,042, going back and forth. And so when the person who wins it doesn't want it, unless you're recording every bid, you have no capacity to go back and find out that information.
Right. And interestingly, we don't call out paddle numbers because they're not germane, because it's only the winning paddle most of the time.
Right,
when
right.
You don't have a bidder gone bad.
Yeah, yeah.
Most of the time, that information is not necessary. But in the fund of need, we do call out amounts just to give the recorders enough time
right.
to write it down.
Well, it also creates a sense of rhythm and repetition. And if we said thank you every time, 1, 2, 3, thank you. 4, 5, 6,
oh,
thank
yeah.
you. 7, 8, 9, thank you. Like, I think it would lose its power.
Right.
So say 1, 2, 3, $500. That gives me the opportunity to look someone in the eyes and give them a little nod, like, I see you, I appreciate you, without saying anything. And it gives the recorders a chance to write stuff down.
Yep. And I also just recently had that wonderful thing that happens where the crowd gets caught up in the chant and you don't have to say it anymore.
$500.
Right, right. They're
$500. USA.
Yeah,
that's great.
People
that's
love to chant.
That's so fun.
So bringing it back around, right? We don't say thank you every time. And in the case of our bad bidder, we don't say thanks for nothing.
Right, yeah. Right. And this reminds me of a story that goes right in line with that. I'm doing a school auction and there's a big trip. This is one of those, you know, one of those country day schools that they have a really, really generous and supportive crowd.
And affluent.
Yes.
Yeah.
And one of the trips that always did well would sell for between $12,000 and $26,000, depending on who's in the room. And it gets to $14,000 and it kind of dies out and sold, you know, 642. $14,000. And so we roll on and the year before that it sold for over 20, we roll on and my development associate comes running up to me a couple of lots later and says, hey, on that, it was Crossroads. It was one of the Crossroads trips.
Okay.
That backcountry Crossroads. I'm forgetting the name of it, but there's a Bay Area Crossroads.
Yeah.
They do those custom family itineraries. They look lovely. She's like, hey, on that Crossroads trip, that backroads trip, the winning bidder was one of our teachers. And she does not have the cash to pay for her auction lot and was only bidding to bid other people up for fun and thought it was going to sell for more.
We say all the time, you know, it'll be like we're having our debrief meeting and so-and-so and the meeting go, yeah, I ended up winning that because I was trying to bid it up. And we tell them, that's a dangerous game.
It's a dangerous game. And and I appreciate the people who are there just trying to bid other people up. But if you're going to play the game, you got to be able to pay the price.
That's right.
And so I looked at my contact and I said, okay, well, two things. We'll just put it back up for sale right now.
Mm-hmm.
Have the person running the PowerPoint presentation scroll back to it. And two, take away her paddle. She never gets a paddle at this event again.
Take her paddle and smack her with a couple times.
You know, and I understood the intent with which she was operating, but you can't be bidding, you know, you and I don't, I'm not going to say she was the reason why other bidders, like the bidding just died. It got to 14,000 and died. The bidders who normally were there to take it all the way up to 20 and 26, one of them was missing, right? So suddenly she's caught in the crossfire. But you got to be able to pay if you're going to play. Otherwise, you are a bidder gone bad.
Yep. And I'm going to flip it around and say the other side of that, which is, you know, during consulting, we'll be having an argument about, or not an argument, we'll have a discussion about where to start the bidding.
Yes.
And the client will say, we want to start the bidding here, but it has to sell for at least this much. And I have to explain to them, that's not exactly how it works.
Right.
It works like this. You can always have someone who will buy it in the organization who will make sure they buy it up to this amount. And then either they take it or we remonetize it and sell it to someone else or something.
Right.
But you can't say, we'll start the bidding at 4,000, but it has to sell for six. Like if you start the bidding at 4,000 and someone puts up their paddle at 4,000 and no one bids against them, they win. That's the rules of an auction.
Unless you put a reserve on it, and then it's always awkward, like, oh, well, I was told I can't sell this for less than six. You're in at four. Do you want to go six? No. Okay. It's off the table.
Right. Reserve is weird if you don't start it.
That's just a bad vibe.
Yeah.
That's a bad vibe.
But it is, there is a tension there, because if it's worth 10 and you start at 9,500, don't expect a ton of action. However, if it's worth 10 and you start at three, you better be willing to sell it for three or four or five or six.
Right.
So we're always kind of playing that game of we want action and we want it to sell for a lot. And those are not always they're related, but not the same.
That's part of the reason why when I do the lot order, I also include a column for opening bid. So that we have a conversation about where we want to start the auction lot. So it's not like, oh, Greg went rogue, so that they're not like, oh, they, you know, if somebody tells me, oh, this is worth, we got to start the bidding at five. It's like, okay, but why? Right.
Yep.
Because if I'm asking why, your crowd's going to ask why.
Yep. And that also obviates that awkwardness about priceless items.
Right.
Like, give me an opening bid because you say it's priceless. Does that mean we're going to start the bid at 3,000 or at 8,000? Right.
Right. And I like opening bids for priceless items that have a logic to them.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's eight people, the chef comes to your house to prepare dinner and it's going to be paired with wine, let's start the bidding at $200 a person. You couldn't hire a caterer for that.
Correct.
$1,600 and go. Yeah. Right. And I've just built a logical narrative in 15 seconds and gotten people's buy-ins. Like, oh yeah, that's not bad. That's actually kind of inexpensive.
Yeah. Yeah. And with that, the priceless part is that the chef's coming to you.
Right.
So our opening bid is already a good deal. We expect it to go for much more because we're tapping into the beauty of people and relationships and such.
Speaking of tapping into the beauty of people, Black Tie and Tails is brought to you by our partner, Greater Giving. Transform your nonprofit's fundraising initiatives with Greater Giving, a global payments company delivering unparalleled support for nonprofits and schools for over two decades. From effortless event organization to volunteer empowerment and increased donations, their integrated solutions pave the way for success. Explore their offerings and access a wealth of educational materials at greatergiving.com. And now I think it's been a minute, but I think this on a personal level, this qualifies as a horror story of the week. I'm doing this event in Florida, and the first year I'm on stage, and it's, you know, it's in Naples. We'll go that far. I don't think I'm going to get in trouble by saying it's an event in Naples, Florida. It's a very wealthy community. The first time I was there, my hosts drove me around and they're like, that's the property that a guy just bought for $65 million and then tore the house down to rebuild it. Right. So it's a very wealthy community. And at the very first auction, we do great. We raise a bunch of money, have a very successful.
Start the bidding at 200 and go.
Yeah. Have a very successful auction. And at the end of the auction, this guy comes up to me and says, what about, you know, the guy wants to buy your vest. And I'm like, no, my vest's not for sale. And we move on. And then the next year, I don't wear a vest, I wear a tie. just a tie. And I'm like, you want to buy the tie? You can do that. A couple years later, we have the pandemic and then we're back in person. And I buy a really cheesy vest off of Amazon that is all like LED flashing lights and everything to go with the theme.
Wait, that's cheesy? Oh no.
Yeah. And the guy's not there. It's like the first year back from the pandemic. He's not there. He's at home. So we're doing this hybrid event. It's really complicated. And he wants to bid on the vest. So we put the vest up for sale. And it winds up taking 7 minutes on FaceTime to sell a vest for like $800. And we all agree that we're never doing that again, right? Like, that's just a waste of everybody's time and energy. So the following year, they're doing an event theme that is roots, you know, and it's like tree and growing roots, and there's all this, and the decor is green and orange and gold, kind of autumnal feeling to it. I'm like, great, I got the perfect vest for that. I wear the vest, everything goes great. We do the auction, we do the fund the need. We're, you know, 15, 18 minutes, a few lots and a paddle raise. We're like 20 minutes in, 750, you know, $750,000. I'm in the center of the room, I'm in the round, and I'm saying my goodnight to everybody. And a woman comes running up from one of the head tables who's behind me at that point. And I'm like, oh, hey, what's going on? And she's like, guy at my table wants to buy your vest. And I'm like, oh no, he's back. And I'm like, you know what? No, this vest isn't for sale. I'm like, thanks, no. And so she goes back to sit down, and someone at her table yells, do it for the kids.
Oh, God. What?
And that's a shot across the bow.
What kind of monster are you that you love your vest more than you love the kids?
And that's exactly what it does.
You hate puppies and kittens.
It turns the whole situation from, oh, you're weird for wanting to buy a vest.
Which is true.
To, oh, you're a jerk for not wanting to sell it, right?
Tell me there wasn't a sell the vest chant.
Well, it's funny you should say that, because I'm mentally stammering. I'm like, I'm trying to explain to the guy, like, you know, this vest is one of a kind. I have them custom made. This is the vest I was wearing the first time my son worked with me, which is true. It was the first time Ryder did an event with me.
I know it's an orange vest.
You know, green. It's the green
one. Oh, okay. It's the green vest. Yeah,
yeah.
I know that.
Yeah. Me too. And the first time Ryder worked with me, you know, and I'm trying to explain, and the company, like the place where I source the fabric isn't bringing Thai silk in anymore. They stopped importing silks and everything else. And someone...
You're just making him want this vest more.
Thai
silk.
Thai, right? And so someone at his table, in the midst of this like attempt to like deflect the situation, says... Boo.
Oh, what? Booing the auctioneer.
And I like, I wish I had the video, because I'm sure there's this moment where I'm like, you know, just dear, like, and the rest of the crowd thinks that this is theater.
Right. They're like, this is all part of the bit.
So they start booing too. Right? Boo. The whole crowd. Boo. Boo. Screw you for helping us raise $750,000. Screw you.
Tomato flying up. Right.
Screw you. And I'm like, you don't go to a restaurant and ask the waiter to strip. This is weird. But I'm like, and if I, again, I wish I had the video, because so you could see the moment where I'm just like, I go from like, oh, well, F you, to, okay. I'm like, you want my vest?
Start the bidding.
At $20,000.
Damn Skippy.
Damn Skippy. And then the crowd's like, ooh, right? Like, oh, that. And I'm like, hey, what? This is my vest. You want me to do it for the kids? Then I get to set the opening price. And my opening price to do it for the kids is $20,000. Going once, you know, yes, no, maybe so.
I'm right.
Fair,
we're not
gonna, warning,
we're not gonna
or,
put this out.
And the guy raises his
paddle. Oh, no.
He puts his paddle.
Well, no. There. Oh, yes.
Right. I mean,
oh, yes.
Yeah. And immediately I'm like, no, I mean, awesome, right? Like,
yeah.
Like if he's a fool, they're all fools, and they're not all fools, because they're all doing good work for the organizations with which we work. But still, I was like, oh.
Yeah.
And I turned to the event chairs and I'm like, go 22, you know, go 22, maybe, because I know they don't want the best, right. And maybe they'll just bail me out, right? Bid a car, please, yeah. You know? Bid 22,000, and they're like, yes, no, so done and sold, and the whole place erupts. And I'm like, here you go. Like, I take it off, and I'm like, hang. And he comes up and he shimmy, you know, does this old man shimmy into this sweaty vest that doesn't really fit.
Tell me he's a big old fat guy. He'll never fit.
No, he's a tall, thin guy.
So it'll be too short for.
Yeah.
It'll be like a little.
Yeah. But that's not the point, right? Because apparently, I have a buddy in Naples, Florida, Scott Robertson, great auctioneer. Love Scott. I've known him since 2011, and we refer business back and forth, do work all the time. Scott's a great guy. And Scott's like, oh yeah, so-and-so. He's like, I taught him that. The first time I did an event, I sold him my vest. I'm like, well, screw you, Scott.
Right.
You cost me one of my favorite vests.
So
ever.
You're the vest guy.
Yeah. You're the jerk that started this.
Right.
Yeah, next time Scott like sends me a selfie of him and this guy at an event, like, and I'm like, Scott, I noticed you're not wearing a vest. He's like, oh yeah, I don't wear vests to his events anymore. So wait, here's the people come up to me afterwards and they're like, oh my gosh, that was so great. And da da da. I'm like, still seething. I'm like, it wasn't scripted. That wasn't meant to happen. That wasn't part of the deal. And so we have our wrap up meeting. We always have a wrap up meeting. We always follow up with people. We're doing our wrap up meeting. And I keep waiting for the client to acknowledge at some point that
you're welcome.
Right.
For the, you know, 20 grand for the vest, you know.
And also, like, and so finally I'm like, look, hey, and here's the thing. Like, I'm really glad that went well and that was fun, but I can't afford to empty my closet, right? Like, I've got like every one of my vests. We go, like, and you know, I'm not saying this to build up my vest, but we go, we find the fabric. I've got this woman, this sweet little Chinese lady's been making my vest for 20 years, right? And she, you know, got my picture on the wall. Like, I got a little modicum of celebrity, right? Like, we go to Britex and get the buttons. I mean, every one of those vests is a labor of love that also costs money, right? And if I sold the vest at every event, I would need to charge more. And so I told him, I said, hey, look, here's the deal. I'm
more than 20K.
Yeah.
We're starting at 24,000.
Right.
You bastards.
You know, and a percentage. But I'm like, hey, here's the deal. I can't empty my closet on your event, right? Like, that's just that doesn't work for me. But I am happy to build into our budget, like build into our contract a budget for creating a vest solely for your event.
That's a great idea.
Like, tell me the theme, tell me
it
the
has
colors.
Your logo.
I will, that would be great.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, that sounds great. We're totally on board. And so we get everything together and we send them the contract and we're waiting and we're waiting. And we're waiting.
Thousand pound sleeveless elephant in the room.
Never hear back.
Oh.
Never hear back. And finally, they get back in touch and they say, oh yeah, they got new chairs. And the chairs have a different auctioneer that's their favorite. So they're going to go with them.
Oh, no to the vest and no to you.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks. You know, I'll just say, like, winds of change blow us into town. Winds of change blow us out. It happens all the time. Try not to take it too personally either way. Left the door open. Would love to go back to Naples. Would love to work with you. You know who you are. But it still hurts a little. You know, like, you leave it all out there. You put it all on the line. Like, it hurts to get let go. But especially when you brought in an extra $20,000.
Right, with your special,
The humiliation of having to sell yourself. Like, it was, that was when I went and got this I don't know if we can get that camera might pick it up.
Tribal techno.
The little I came back from Florida and I'm like, I need to reclaim some space. I
used to have a hoop, and you once said to me, so you think you should have that hoop doing auctions? And I was like, oh, I don't know.
I didn't mean it like that.
I don't know. Maybe it's off. But I took mine out after exactly 10 years to the day.
Yeah.
10 years to the day. Also, I was in a class. We're going really far afield of.
Yeah, it's okay. It's close.
I was in a class or a lecture or something, and the professor said, you know, there was a time when I had a hoop in one ear, a little hoop, like the total poser hoop in one ear, and I'm there, like,
captioning. He's looking right at you.
Oh, I hadn't heard that about the hoops.
I just needed to reclaim a little bit of rebellious space.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
just a little.
I'm actually me. I'm not just a boy.
I'm not just a vest.
Nice. Not just a pretty vest. I'm going to give you one more bitter gone bad because it was along the lines of.
Oh, we've got more, but I mean.
Oh, go. Good.
Yeah, yeah. Here, why don't you do this?
All right, then. Speaking of going far afield, Throne. Black Tie and Tales is brought to you by our partner Sojourn Ventures. When your auction's in need of some international travel, check out Sojourn Ventures. Sojourn curates trips to Italy, Bali, and now Spain at reasonable consignment prices. They offer over a dozen curated packages that include round-trip airport transfers, full-body massages, daily breakfast, in-home chefs, and more. Your buyers will enjoy top-level concierge service and 2 full years to redeem their trip. All at a reasonable consignment price. Check out www.sojournventurestravel.com or look for the link in the bio of this podcast.
Appreciate Sojourn Ventures. Appreciate, like, this was, we started off to do one season of this podcast, and the season was going to be 12 episodes, and Sojourn Ventures and Greater Giving jumped right in and said, yeah, you guys have never done a podcast before, but we believe in you and we'll sponsor this. So appreciate them.
Yep. And we believe in them. We've worked with them as partners for over a decade, and they're just fabulous.
Yeah.
Can't talk them up highly enough. And that's not just because of the podcast. We really, we believe it.
We were talking about how it's fun to talk because we both have the experience. You sit down with most people and you have to explain the job before you can explain why something's challenging, right? Which is why I also have a network of fundraising auctioneers nationwide. And one of the auctioneers who I know, Kelly Russell, shout out Kelly, she went to Bali and stayed in the Golden Buddha casita. She and like a bunch of friends went and they took over 3 of the Golden Buddha casitas. And she said that they had the time of their life, that they were like, they saw people riding around on scooters at one point and they're like, oh, we're going to go try to find, and the Sojourn people were like, no, hang on, we got you. And they actually went and corralled scooters for them and brought them back. So they gave them, like, they totally took care of them, had the time of their life. We were supposed to go. Michelle Ryder and I were supposed to go to Bali in 2015.
On the Sojourn trip.
Go stay in one of the Sojourn places at the Golden Buddha Resort. And then I wound up having shoulder surgery instead because that's just a better vacation. I love my wife. She loves me. But there are certain things that she's like, oh, yeah, that.
Yeah. Remember when your shoulder screwed up our trip?
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, shoulder boy.
Shoulder boy. Oh, yeah, that sounds like a rapper from Atlanta.
See what you did there.
Speaking of rappers from Atlanta, I'm doing an auction, big crowd, 600-700 people, and we've got a buy-in. And the buy-in is set number, can't have more than 30 couples. And when you've got a set number, either you sell it out at that price and the people who don't get their paddles up in the air quickly enough, well, too bad. Or the price goes up until you only have 30 paddles in the air. And 30 is a lot to do this with.
It's a lot because you have to recount every time.
Almost.
And let's say also the cheating is rampant.
Right. People wait until you start naming numbers to raise their paddle, which is why one of the dirty secrets is if you've got 30 spots, run it until there's 25 paddles in the air and 5 people will jump in. Right. Like just that. But anyway, 30 is a lot. Like 5, 10, 12, 15 paddles, that's easy to manage. 30 is a lot. And so, but I can tell, like, I've just, this section is 15 and I've got 3 of those sections. So I've got way more than 30. And so the price is going up. It's 500 per couple, 550 per couple, 600 per couple, 650 per couple, 700 per couple. Quick count, way more, 750. And a guy at one of the tables close to me yells, "That's not right. There aren't that many paddles in the air." And I try to be a positive, generous person on stage, right? When I first got into doing fundraising auctions, I took improv classes, and improv classes taught me yes and, right? There's not a lot of room for conflict in an auction. This is a rare occasion that is not true. Cannot have somebody accuse me of attempting to deceive a crowd, right? In front of the crowd loudly enough it's 700 people, only 20 or 30 people heard it. But I was like, oh, no, wait, what? Come here. And I had the guy stand up.
Right. Because the data, it's not like you're dispensing the data. everyone has eyes to see.
Yeah, yeah. I'm
look around.
Come here. Yeah. And I said, come on, stand with me. Stand right here. Now let's count. Everybody keep your paddles up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 11, 30, 32, 33, 34. Can I stop counting now? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, great. Back to your seat. 750 per paddle. And right. And it went up. And it was really like a harsh moment, but also the crowd was like, yeah, good for you. Right.
You're like, you see this little, you see,
yeah,
this,
yeah. You see this little thing?
Now what?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Bring it. No, and the thing was, it's like, that's happened more than once. I had a woman do that at an outdoor event. So in a tent, midsummer, different vibe, smaller crowd. It's a buy-in. This time it's only for 12 couples. So it's definitely like smaller, maybe 15 couples, smaller group. And she's doing, you know, she's like, there's not that many paddles in the air. And I did, I was like, oh, I've done this before.
Right? Yeah. You probably want my vest.
Come here. And so I brought her up and had her stand and count with me and then, you know, made her go sit down. And like, it's funny. We've got to walk this fine line of being nice and controlling the room. And when you get a bitter, ever since the pandemic ended, it's been weird. I have had multiple people who have like backed out of winning bids. I was doing an event, 600 person event. So I had four professional spotters and Beth Sandifer, shout out Beth Sandifer, is on stage with me. She's recording every bid. So she's writing down every single bid, right? And so this person bids 28,000, 30, 32, 34,000, 36, 38, right? They're in. Anybody else? No, done, sold, $38,000. Woo! And this event uses runners because when the numbers are that high, you want to validate every bid.
Yeah, you're not waiting for them to check out at the table.
Yeah. Like, here's your $110,000 bill. They send a runner straight over, and the guy's like, yeah, no. That wasn't... then. And his is like, that wasn't me.
Oh.
Right? And I'm like, so there's me, there's Beth, and Beth's like, yes, it was. And the spotters... pros, like, these are pros, they get paid money, good money to, like, they do this for a, you know, they're good at this. They're all four pros are like, yes, it was. And I was like, oh, or where and since the pandemic, there's been a lot of that, like, oh, I'm just gonna play, you know, right. I'm just playing,
like that old lady I didn't know, yeah, what this is for.
There's another couple, right?
Oh, I'll tell you about a couple that it's along the lines of that late. Well, you know how that teacher, her heart was in the right place. She's doing the, I don't want to see itself or that little. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just going to like poke my toe in and be part of it and then get out. Right.
Right. Right.
This was an event where there was a couple and they were, you know, it was in rounds, 300 people, maybe, right. 30, 10 tops. And they were kind of in the middle, like in the middle, front to back, middle, side to side. So everyone could see them. And they were pumped, and they were hooting and hollering, and we
fun.
Oh, great! I love, right? We, yeah, love a couple
good
like
energy.
That.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like bring that. It, bring it on.
And there was maybe a dozen lots.
Okay.
And they ended up winning four of them.
So 25, right? 33% of the auction.
Yeah, they won a third of the lots, and so everyone's just loving them.
Yeah.
Every time they're big.
New best friends.
Oh, yeah, and they're like high-fiving and hugging each other, and after they'd win something, they'd high-five everyone all around them. And so, yeah, you can already see this coming.
Given the context of the conversation,
right?
This isn't going
to
be.
Bitter's gone bad. And they, at the end, okay, it's time to settle up. And they went sheepish. They went, oh, yeah, we are so sorry. And, you know, we got all caught up in the moment. And it was so much fun that we couldn't stop ourselves. But now that we look at what the bill is for winning four lots, we're going to go ahead and wave it all off, and we don't want any of them. And you can't, that's not,
so embarrassing.
There's no in baseball.
Yeah.
You can't, well, and that's just not how it goes.
That's just, I yeah.
Yeah, right. And the live
program. What year was this?
This was maybe 5 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
So pre-pandemic even.
Yeah. Right. Oh, no. These are just people caught up in the moment. They were younger. I remember thinking to myself, wow, they've got some means for being,
right,
such a young,
right,
couple. Well,
did you say? Oh, you said 3,300.
Right.
Ew.
So, and you know, the program was long since over. It,
right,
was.
Hey. They're not writing down every bid.
Yeah, I don't remember. It seems like when we had the wrap meeting, it was still unresolved. Like two of the four they had dealt with, but two of the four they were still going to have to. So, you know, those people go on to the you don't get a paddle list for subsequent events. You don't get a paddle.
What type of event was it? I'm sorry again. School?
No, it was event, you know, like an advocacy group kind of thing. Yeah.
Okay. So at least it wasn't a school.
Right. Where everyone's going to see the
multiply embarrassing. Right. But, I mean, still, I've been trying to think, you know, as we progress through this, trying to think like, well, what are the takeaways from this? And I think the biggest takeaway is have somebody writing down every bid. Right? Like you have a recorder, you have two recorders who are writing stuff down as we say sold, you know, a gazillion dollars, one, two, three, they get that written down. But have one other person whose job is to stand near our position, looking out at the crowd, trying to write every bid down as it occurs in real time. And at the beginning of an auction lot,
when it's hot, we actually aren't pointing to paddles, we're just throwing our hands out and going 400, now 600, now 800, now 1,000, yeah. Now 12, now.
I mean, when there's 10 paddles in the air, you're just like, wee, brah. But
at the end,
when it gets down to the final four bidders, three bidders, two bidders, yeah. They're going back and forth. They're making decisions. It's moving slowly. Somebody, an amateur could keep up with this decently. A professional, again, throw Beth's name out there. Beth's been doing this for 17 years now. A professional can get 75 to 80% of the bids that happen in an auction. And that data, it enables you to go back to the second place bidder in the event that you have a bidder gone bad. But that data also helps you look at things like, what are our most popular auction lots? More than one occasion, people have said, this is our most popular auction lot. It sells for blah, you know, blah, blah, blah. And you go and look, and there's 30 bids, but it's two people
right.
going back and forth.
Right.
Right. And actually the most popular lot, the one that had 12 people bidding on it might have sold for less. So it's how do you define popularity? Right?
Yep.
And we've also used it. There was a board member. The first time anybody ever did this, a board member, they were giving this board member the side eye because he sponsored a table for $10,000, but then never bought anything in the auction. Right. So then they track every bid in the auction and come to find out this guy came in second three times. At 9,500.
He
pushed people up to 10.
Right.
And if he'd have stopped bidding, those lots would have sold for six. So he's responsible for an extra 9,000, well, actually, you know, 10,500 in bidding just alone. Plus, his table sees him participating and they wind up getting involved as well. So
yep.
Tracking every bid gives you data that is more valuable than it. It's valuable because it enables you to help rectify a bidder gone bad situation, but it also is valuable in ways beyond that.
I think that's very well said, Greg, and I absolutely agree. It gives you a backup for a bidder gone bad. Mm-hmm. It also gives you that second highest bidder for the delayed double.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Where sometimes they come up and whisper our ear, we'll do a second one. Oh, yay, you were my second person. But sometimes that doesn't happen until after, at the end of the night or something, right? And now you have the second one.
Three lots later,
yeah.
The donor's like, hey, I'll give you two trips. And you're like,
well, that's not doubling.
Yay.
That's not doubling. That's auctioning something else off. And really, really good point about just giving you your data about your non-winning bidders.
Yeah.
And I say this to clients all the time. I'll say this to spotters during the spotter training as well. Mm. If someone doesn't win, it's exactly that person who is making your auction succeed. And if you get a royal flush on the flop and everybody folds on the flop, that's not a valuable hand.
Right.
It's your non-winning bidders who stay
in. It's the sucker who got us straight.
Right. So three aces. Yeah. It's the person who doesn't win who is going to make your auction successful. So give them love in the moment and maybe have some information about them as well. And they're not a bidder gone bad. They're a bidder gone good.
One of my favorite things to do is have a bottle of champagne for the second place bidders.
Yeah.
Like take it out to the second place bidders. Trying to think of what else you could do to help rectify situations. I mean, the vest situation is so unique that I don't think there's a big takeaway from that. I mean, I think just in general, have runners to go out to people to, if you don't know your audience or you're not sure if they're people, like there are some instances where the development staff knows everybody that's going to be there.
Right.
They're not worried. Their parents will see them on Monday. Sure. They'll pay for their stuff. But if you don't know your audience 100%, have a runner go out and get people to sign off on stuff in real time. Because the worst case scenario, they back out and we have to resell something. Actually, worst case scenario is they go to check out. They don't want it. They decide not to buy it. And now you've got an auction lot that you're sitting on with none of that. What have we talked about in the past? How the potential in a room is fleeting and vaporous. And yeah. And if you let it dissipate, it's never there again. And you will find that out the hardest way ever if you wait until after an auction is over to go try and resell an auction lot.
The someone comes up and whispers in your ear after you say sold, wait, we've got a second vest.
So we'll end on this note. So I put it out to the fundraising auctioneer community that I'm in a network with. I said, well, how would you handle the situation? And people were like, yes, have them pay, blah, blah. And my favorite was, wear two vests, have two of the same vest made, and then when you take it off and you give them yours, you're like, sucker!
This one's 40,000.
This one's for me. Thanks, listener, for joining us for this episode of Black Tie and Tales. You can find our podcast on Apple, Spotify, Google, YouTube, and of course, your favorite podcast distribution channels. You can also find it at blacktieandtales.com. Be sure to tune in next episode for our end of year recap. More tales of triumph than tragedy.